What is the No Spin News all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are. And it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.
It's January 25th. You're listening to the President's Daily Brief. I'm your host and former CIA officer, Brian Dean Wright. Your morning intel starts now. Good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. I've got four briefs for you this morning that are shaping America and the world. First, we've got an update on America's intel scandal. This time, it's not Joe Biden. A new politician says that he, too, had classified material at his home. Second, we've got an update on Ukraine with how global powers are doubling down on their investments in the war using your money. Third, the country of Norway just announced a major commitment to oil and gas exploration. Environmentalists, as you would probably guess, are outraged. Fourth, we've got a poll showing where South Africans would rather live, either in the United States, Russia, or China. The results tell us, I think, a lot, not just about South Africa, but why the U.S. is still a pretty exceptional place. Later, we close out the podcast with a personal observation about the U.S. Treasury Secretary's visit to Africa. She's making a lot of promises for aid, but I've got a story from my time in Southern Africa that suggests maybe we should proceed with some caution when it comes to foreign aid. But before we get to that, we got to get started with this. We've got an update on the intel scandal, but did you notice I didn't say the Biden intel scandal? That's because we have a new character in the mix. Former Vice President Mike Pence has acknowledged that he, too, possessed classified information kept at his home. It's a, quote, small number of documents, his attorney said. No information on the level of classification of any of that material. So the backstory to this is that apparently Mr. Pence hired an attorney to search his home on January 16th out of what he said was a, quote, abundance of caution, end quote, following, of course, the scandal that is now dogging Joe Biden. Well, this attorney searched Mr. Pence's house and apparently found a couple of boxes anyway of trinkets and documents from when Mr. Pence left office just a couple years ago. And that in those boxes and such is where the classified material was found, which, as ever, had been sitting in his home unsecured for at least 2 years. So that's all we know this morning. I'm pretty eager to learn some additional details. I'll provide you those as soon as I get them. But in the meantime, I want to offer you a personal opinion based on my professional career. Because some of you might be wondering why we should care about this story, or that of Mr. Biden, or Mr. Trump, or, well, the Hillary Clinton email server, too. You might recall that one. She was sending and receiving classified information on her private server, I think in the basement, who knows? Well, let me explain why we should still care about this issue, but in a way that's a little bit different than I've offered to date, and probably you haven't heard before. I want to take you all inside the world of espionage, and I want you to imagine that you are a foreign national, say someone from Ukraine, and you have access to secrets, very important secrets, that say your president is a crook or there's corruption going on. And you decide to work with me, Brian, a CIA officer, because you want to tell me the truth about what's going on rather than what the Ukrainian government is saying is going on. So let's imagine we're sitting down face to face and you're worried. You are worried that you will be discovered for being a spy and probably killed. So you ask me, Brian, how can you keep me safe? How will you protect my identity? Because there are only two people who know what I know, me and the president of Ukraine. Well, as we start that conversation, and I tell you about, say, my training or my experience and the secret ways that'll keep you safe, you say to me, you know, Brian, I keep reading that your politicians are leaking or taking classified material and storing it in their basements or next to their Corvettes. So tell me, how can we work together if I have to keep worrying about, well, me and my information ending up in, say, the careless hands of Joe Biden or his son Hunter or Hillary Clinton's server or now Mike Pence's home? And you know what, folks? I can't promise you that as a Ukrainian spy, you and your information will remain safe from these politicians doing this outrageous stuff. I just can't promise you that. And so as a smart person, you, the Ukrainian spy, you're probably going to back out of this relationship. You're going to say, forget it. If you can't keep me safe, I'm out. And you know what? I wouldn't blame you or them at all. That outcome is the very real result of these shenanigans and this lawlessness of our politicians. They're not taking their job seriously and protecting this material. And when that happens, ultimately, America is made weaker. We lose informants or assets. We lose collection platforms. And that means that we make decisions with less information. And that leads to mistakes. Mistakes that cost America money and lives. Sometimes we even end up starting wars. So that's why this matters. It affects the willingness of some very brave people abroad, potential informants, who say, no thanks. If you all don't take my security seriously, I am out of here. And that is, in fact, what's happening this morning all around the world. I can guarantee from my personal experience that our officers are scrambling out there to reassure agents because now they're all afraid. All because our leaders, to be blunt, are just a bunch of reckless morons. And that, folks, is why this issue matters, no matter who the politician might be. With that, ladies and gentlemen, let's actually take a quick break, let my blood pressure drop. And when we come back, I've got three more critical pieces of news for you. So hang tight and we'll be right back.
What if there was someone out there who kept a log of every single thing you did every minute of the day? Well, yeah, right. That would be pretty creepy. But what if I told you that's exactly what happens every time you go online? Your internet provider, like AT&T or Verizon, is allowed to store logs of every website you've ever visited and can legally sell this data to anyone. Now that's why I'm very pleased to tell you about ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your internet provider can't see or log what you do online. Many VPNs claim to have a no-logs policy, but have been caught logging customer activity. ExpressVPN is the only VPN I'd recommend to you because they use what's referred to as trusted server technology. They were the first major VPN provider to engineer all of their VPN servers to run on RAM only. This makes it impossible for their VPN servers to store any data, including logs, of any ExpressVPN customer. ExpressVPN is so confident in their no-logs claim, they even had one of their biggest assurance firms, PwC, audit their technology. Now here's the point. Stop letting people keep logs of what you do online. Visit expressvpn.com/baker, that's B-A-K-E-R, right now, and find out how you can get 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/baker. Mike Baker here. When I say the word preparedness, what do you think of? What? Preppers? Doomsday bunkers? Well, the reality is, being prepared for any number of problems or difficulties should be a concern for everyone. You're out hiking or you're camping and you become ill or get injured. The power maybe goes out, the roads are closed, and you've got a child or elderly person at home who gets sick and needs treatment. Or your college student is away at university and gets sick. Maybe you're on holiday somewhere exotic and fun, and your trip is suddenly threatened due to illness. Now you see what I'm getting at. Being prepared for a medical emergency is just being smart. Introducing the JASE case, JASE, J-A-S-E, your personalized emergency medication kit with 5 essential antibiotics addressing common and deadly bacterial infections. Doctor created and recommended, it ensures that you're ready for any emergency. And getting a JASE case is simple. Look, I've done it, and seriously, it could not be any easier. It took no time at all, and the case arrived in days. Just fill out the online form at jacemedical.com. From online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery, ongoing consultation and care, Jace handles it all. Visit jacemedical.com and use code Mike, that's M-I-K-E, just like you probably thought, at checkout for an exclusive discount on your order. Again, that's jacemedical.com and use code Mike. Don't wait until it's too late.
Welcome back to the PDB. I've got three more critical pieces of news for you this morning. First up, some big developments in Ukraine. And to tell this one best, I want us to remind ourselves of the brief that I gave you all on the boxing match analogy that we discussed on August 25th. So if you remember, in one corner of our boxing match was Ukraine, and in the other, of course, was Russia. Now, Ukraine had its coaches and supporters, namely America and Europe. Russia, on the other hand, had more quiet partners like China, India, and Saudi Arabia. Well, we've got updates to talk about regarding those coaches and supporters this morning. Let's start with Russia's main supporter. That, of course, would be China. We now have reporting from three different media outlets, including Bloomberg News, CNN, and CBS News, that the Chinese government has been secretly providing, quote, non-lethal military and economic assistance, end quote. All right, so what does that mean? Well, it likely includes things like intelligence or electronic equipment or even modest military gear like flak jackets or night vision goggles. And as for this economic assistance, PDB listeners know all about that. China has dramatically increased its imports of Russian oil, gas, and coal all over the past year. In fact, imports are up 50% year over year. Now, what's very interesting about this allegation of China secretly helping Russia is that the firms involved in this secret trade are government-owned, meaning that President Xi of China likely signed off on his companies making these trades. And that would make sense. China has long said that it prioritizes its relationship with Russia over the West, even though it technically says that it likes everybody and is neutral in the war in Ukraine. Actually been pretty careful not to give Russia too much war material that might violate sanctions. All right, so that's one corner of this boxing match. In the other corner, we've got Ukraine's partners. And there have been some major updates over the past week. And you might want to grab a map for this next part, because when you see the number of nations involved, it's quite something. So first, nine European nations announced last Thursday a coordinated release of weaponry to Ukraine. Let me just give you some of those examples. The country of Denmark said that they would provide weaponry and training. The Czech Republic offered more ammunition, artillery, and maintenance. Estonia gave much the same as the Czech Republic, but also hundreds of anti-tank grenade launchers. Next, the country of Latvia ponied up some Stinger missiles, some helicopters, machine guns, and some spare parts, too. So the list just keeps going on and on here. Lithuania, drones, the United Kingdom, tanks, Slovakia, guns. But the biggest of all is the United States and Germany. According to the Wall Street Journal and the German outlet Der Spiegel, there's a deal for these nations to give some of their most advanced tanks to Ukraine. Now, the U.S. is apparently going to offer a substantial number of M1 Abrams tanks. Not sure how many exactly. Meanwhile, Germany is offering up at least 14 of what is, I think, 340 Leopard 2 tanks. Now, those deals will probably be announced today or tomorrow at some point. But regardless, it's pretty important. These tanks are arguably the most advanced, most offensive piece of weaponry given to Ukraine so far. But the question remains, how effective will these tanks actually be? Because, for instance, the U.S. Department of Defense is saying that these Abrams tanks, well, they're frankly a terrible fit for the Ukrainians. And that's because they require special fuel to operate, basically jet fuel. And it requires, in fact, 3 gallons of that specialized stuff for every mile the tank travels. And that means that the Pentagon is either going to have to find some sort of way to build or support a supply line to get jet fuel deep into Ukrainian territory. Otherwise, these tanks are going to become, well, museum pieces, basically, sitting in the more peaceful areas of Western Ukraine. Plus, the Abrams tanks are really heavy, about 70 tons in all, which is far more than what most Ukrainian bridges and roads can handle. Finally, the Abrams tanks require a fair amount of advanced training. So even if these things end up in Ukrainian soil over the next couple of weeks, nobody's capable of actually using them. Unless we send in secret crews from America to drive them. Meanwhile, the German Leopard 2 tank. Now, that one is much easier to operate, fuel, and train on. Plus, there are many more available in not only Germany, which has probably got around 340 or so, but also in countries like Poland, which actually wants to offer up their stock of these Leopard 2s. They're just waiting on final approval from Berlin to do so. One last thing to note about one of the main fighters in this boxing match. The Ukrainian government, they just fired over a dozen senior officials who were allegedly involved in corruption. Some were stealing, others were misusing the military or humanitarian aid provided by, well, you and other Western countries. No surprise there, though. Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in the world, has been for decades. So there's the latest on the boxing match, as it were, between Ukraine and Russia. I'll give you more details on the most critical updates as I learn them, which I suspect will be later this week as we learn more about those tanks. All right, let's move on to another European country this morning who just made a major announcement about oil and gas exploration, leaving environmentalists there absolutely outraged. The Scandinavian country of Norway announced yesterday that they would offer a record number of gas and oil exploration blocks in the Arctic Sea, 92 in all, including an unprecedented 78 in the area of the Barents Sea in the far north. Now, this is a pretty important development for a couple of reasons. First, Norway is Europe's primary natural gas supplier and a major oil producer. So both of those things have become quite important now that Russia is no longer providing much of the energy to Europe that they once did, following, of course, their invasion of Ukraine. So the more oil and natural gas that Norway can create and produce, well, that could help settle some of the energy crisis that we've seen over the past year. Now, the second reason that this is notable is because so much of Europe, and especially Norway, well, they just clamor about climate change and they tell the world to embrace solar and wind, plus buy those electric vehicles, they say. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I told you that 80% of Norway's new vehicle sales were electric. And at the time, they said there's no excuse to avoid transitioning away from traditional energy. And yet, here we are. The Norwegian government is making a pretty substantial investment in the oil and gas industry. As you would expect, reactions in Norway have been split. Leftist parties, including the party called the Socialist Left, they expressed outrage at this announcement. They said that actually they had a deal with the government to forbid further exploration for oil and gas. Well, the government said, yeah, well, that is true, but we said only after the year 2025 would we shut down exploration. And since it's only 2023, yeah, we're going to get this one done just under the wire. Meanwhile, the conservatives of Norway are a little bit suspicious of this announcement. They're saying that this might just be a bargaining chip to be used with the socialists down the road. In other words, maybe the current government eventually gives up some or all of those exploration blocks in exchange for political support down the road. Well, we shall see. Either way, I will keep you posted. Finally, this morning, a quick update on our friends in South Africa, which, by the way, I know that I have some listeners down there. Jade in the Western Cape, I believe. Hendrik and David out in Cape Town. I hope you all are doing well. At any rate, over the last week or so, I've spoken how the government of South Africa is dominated by socialists and communists, especially and specifically the ruling party called the African National Congress, or ANC. And I've shared how that party and their affiliation with the radical left helps explain why they're so close to Russia and China, and frankly, why they hate America so much. Well, maybe you've wondered, what about the common man and woman of South Africa? What do they think of America and Russia and China? Well, yesterday, we got a pretty good sense of that. The Social Research Foundation released a poll of 3,200 registered voters in South Africa and asked them where they would like to live and raise their families if they could immigrate. About 35% said the United States. In second place was the United Kingdom at 22%. Germany came in at third at 11%. Only 1.4% chose Russia. and less than 1% chose China. The poll showed that these results were true across party affiliation, race, and income level. So I'm bringing you this, I think, for two reasons. First, there is obviously a profound mismatch between the good people of South Africa and the government that, frankly, they are yoked to. What it shows me, actually having spent some time in South Africa, is that the greatness of that nation, it's still there. It's inside the people. And we see that. We see that they would prefer their country have what we have here in America, not socialism or communism. But if their government can't deliver, they want to be here in a country that's incredible, a country that is the envy of the world. And that's actually the second reason that I bring this to you. So many people in America trash the United States for being bad and irredeemable and racist and bigoted. And yet, for whatever problems we may have, so many people from all around the world, of all races and ethnicities, they see something different. They see a good people striving to make a great country and even more perfect union. And I think that's something to celebrate and to remember. Folks, we are still that shining city on a hill that people want to be a part of. You know what? It's nice to be reminded of that. So to the 3,200 South Africans out there, I hear you and I thank you. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your morning brief. But I've got one more thing before I let you go. We will be right back.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Mike Baker here. Let's talk warranties. I know, that's exactly what you were hoping I'd say. Let me ask you this. Would you buy a car without a warranty? No, of course you wouldn't. What about your other important big-ticket purchases? Specifically, your home's appliances and critical systems. Again, the answer should be no. The bottom line is that every day is a good day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with an American Home Shield warranty. With an American Home Shield warranty, unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or a faulty water heater won't break the bank because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of, just like that. And having that sort of reassurance, well, that's peace of mind. Choose a plan that works for you and your budget, and then it's simple. When a covered item in your home breaks, well, you contact American Home Shield, and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. So when it comes to protecting your appliances and home systems, don't worry. Get warrantied. Now, I don't know if warrantied is an actual word, but let's go with it. For 20% off plans, visit ahs.com/Mike, M-I-K-E. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts. For coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. And New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.
Welcome back to the PDB, folks. I've got one more thing before I let you go. All this week, the U.S. Treasury Secretary is in Southern Africa, heading to South Africa next after her current trip to Zambia. Well, a major goal of her trip is trying to bring African nations into closer partnership with the United States. And part of that sort of charm offensive is offering up benefits of all kinds to these countries, like solar panels in isolated villages or digging wells to bring people drinking water. Today, I want to offer up a personal story on one of these aid projects that was actually built years ago in Zambia. And I think it offers a cautionary tale as we engage with these nations, and in fact, all nations, when we dangle out foreign aid. About 15 years ago, there was a series of fishing ponds that the U.S. government helped build in Zambia through the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID. The idea was that it was better to help rural Zambians grow their own sources of food rather than just keep giving them food aid. In other words, handouts. So we spent some notable amount of U.S. taxpayer money into building these fish ponds, and we stocked them full of fish, we gave them fish food, and we taught the villagers how to properly care for the fish. Now, there was a ribbon-cutting ceremony, lots of celebration for what a great project this was. You know, it's the kind of stuff that you're seeing now with U.S. Secretary Yellen going around these various countries talking about aid. Well, after the ribbons were cut and the backs were slapped, everybody went home. Well, about 6 months later, the folks at USAID conducted a site visit to see, well, how the fish are doing. Well, do you have any guesses for what they found? Yep, all the fish were dead. The ponds were dry. When the worker for USAID asked what happened, the villagers were pretty, well, matter of fact, in saying, well, look, there was another aid organization, and they came in with semi-trucks full of food. And so either we could work out in the sun to tend to the fish, or we could just eat the free food and enjoy life. So we ate the free food and we enjoyed life. The aid worker then returned to the embassy and spoke with that other aid organization about the semi-trucks and such. And that group said, oh, yes, sorry about that. We had already ordered the food, and honestly, we have another mission. We just provide food. We don't teach people how to grow it. So that was the end of the fish ponds and a continuation of the food trucks. So look, I don't know what's going to become of our foreign aid in Africa, especially as Secretary Yellen is promising more. Plus, we have Joe Biden, who promised $55 billion back in December. All that was supposed to fund African healthcare initiatives, plus build some solar and wind farms, mostly. But I must say, I'm a little bit suspicious of all of it, because when governments and aid organizations set up these programs, they usually fall short, such as they forget to coordinate with other aid organizations with semi-trucks of food. Or just fundamentally, we forget about human nature. We forget that people of all races and ethnicities like to do the least amount of work with the greatest reward. And that's most especially true if you're giving an endless supply of handouts. It creates a perverse incentive for people to become lazy, again, no matter your nationality or race. And there's perhaps nothing worse than turning otherwise industrious and productive people into just groups of lazy slugs. And if there were any doubt about that, well, I've got some empty fish ponds in Zambia to show you. And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes your morning brief. As always, we close out the show reminding each other of why we are here, talking about our country and our world. It's the creed of every good spy and every smart American. It's from John chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.